Blog Talk Radio.
Brother, brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, father, we don't need to escalate. For only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and tears here today. Oh, picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. I further bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder in our midst. I greet all of you, the listening audience, those of you in chat, and those who are listening by phone, and our distinguished panelists and our gracious host, in our greeting words of peace, assalamu alaikum. It is my distinct honor to present to you our host for Conscious Black Nation, Brother Kareem Muhammad from St. Louis, Missouri. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, O great queen. And thank you so much for that wonderful introduction. And how are you feeling this evening?
I am blessed by Allah's permission. It's been a long, emotional, highly intense day, but by Allah's grace and mercy, I'm here, brother. I'm here, and I'm ready to go to work.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. That's right. That's right. Well, just so that individuals understand that what we're here to do, this is Conscious Black Nation on the Nation Building Movement Network, and our purpose here is to present valid information that individuals can use, no matter what religion, no matter what your strata, that you can use in your everyday life to combat this time and actually make an intelligent decision, since we are in the Valley of Decision. And tonight, our distinguished panelist is Brother Kerry X. And brother, I would like you to come down front and center, introduce yourself, and tell us something about yourself. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, sir, brothers and sisters. My name is Brother Kerry. Well, not X anymore. It's Brother Kerry Muhammad. I was just recently married. Yes, sir. Well, I'll tell you a little something about myself. I'll tell you what you asked. This is new to me, so you just ask what you want to know.
All right, brother. Well, what we want to know is, brother, is first of all and foremost, how were you introduced to the Nation of Islam?
When I was 14, it was brought to me by some brothers who I grew up with. They were cousins to a brother Dwayne Muhammad, and he came over one day and had a videotape, and the tape was True Christian Love. I never heard of Islam, Muslim, Mr. Farrakhan, Elijah Muhammad, or anything. But when I saw that, you know, at a young age, I knew this is something I liked, because it was just, I heard nothing but truth. I can't say that I joined right then and there. You know, I probably had one of the longest processes in the nation of, I mean, in the history of the Nation of Islam. But I finally, you know, I came back and forth for many years, and finally came in about 7 years ago. So I've been active, you know, pretty much ever since.
Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. And that being the case, I want to find out from you, when you first heard that first tape, I'm taking it that was a tape of Minister Farrakhan, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. When you first heard that first tape, when you first got that first taste, what was the thing that impressed you most?
It was really, like I said, it was, I didn't hear any falsehood in it. You know, he was a Muslim, and he explained, you know, what the beliefs were, that we believe that God came in a person of Master Far Muhammad. And I still didn't exactly understand as much, but him, the way he kind of explained, and I'm trying to remember this tape, this speech as I'm talking. It's been a long time since I've heard it. But, you know, he was Muslim talking to Christians, and they were all attentive, and they just loved what he was saying. And like I said, I heard nothing but truth. So you can't, you know, when you hear somebody speaking truth, you know, either you're going to walk with them or you're going to run from it. And if you're running from it, that means then you have nothing, you have falsehood in your heart. Well, at 14 years old, I can't say I was actually searching for it. You know, I don't know if I was or not. But when I heard it, I definitely didn't run from it. I had to bear witness to the truth.
Praise be to Allah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, speaking of truth, all right, tonight's subject, for those who don't know, is knowledge to benefit self, or the benefits of knowledge of self. And our subject is taken from that mighty, mighty book, Message to the Black Man in America by Elijah Muhammad. And I just want to set the tone for this evening's discussion, read just some parts. I'm not going to read the entire section, but just some parts. And it's entitled Get Knowledge to Benefit Self. It starts on page 39 of Message to the Black Man, and it's in the chapter Original Man. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad starts like this. He says, I am for the acquiring of knowledge, or the accumulating of knowledge, as we now call it, education. First, my people must be taught the knowledge of self. Then and only then will they be able to understand others and that which surrounds them. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad further states, truth represents itself and stands by itself. Throughout the Holy Quran, the duty of a Muslim is to acquire knowledge, or the duty of a Muslim to acquire knowledge is spelled out. Get an education, but not an education that leaves us looking to the slave master for a job. No people strive to lose themselves among other people except the so-called American Negroes. This they do because of their lack of knowledge of self. We should acquire an education where our people will become better students than their teachers. Get an education, but one which will instill the idea and desire to get something of your own, a country of your own, and jobs of your own. And here he says that he recalls, he says, I recall in 1922, notice this date now, notice how long ago this was. I recall in 1922 or 1923 when a debate was taking place in Congress concerning appropriation of funds for Howard University, a school set aside to train my people in the nation's capital. A senator said this, and it is in the records to be examined. In effect, what would be the need of the government appropriating money to educate Negroes? He said that they would not teach our people the science of modern warfare, defense, birth control, or chemistry. He knew these were things free people must know in order to protect, preserve, and advance themselves. We need an education that eliminates division among us, acquire an education that creates unity and makes us desire to be with our own. The acquiring of knowledge for our children and ourselves must not be limited to the three R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic. It should instead include the history of the black nation, the knowledge of civilization of man and the universe, and all the sciences. It will make us a greater people of tomorrow. When we have such people among us, he says, we must make it possible for them to acquire wealth, which will be beneficial and useful to us. And finally, he states, knowledge is the result of learning, and is a force or energy that makes its bearer accomplish or overcome obstacles, barriers, and resistance. In fact, God means possessor of power and force. And thank you all for your patience and listening to that. And, Brother Curry, I want to get right into this. The first question I have for you is this. What is knowledge of self, and why is it so important for black people to gain this knowledge or education?
Yes, sir. Well, first off, knowledge of self. It tells when you learn a lot of yourself, you learn really your history, where you come from, just what your people have. I'm trying to think of the proper words. Excuse me, I'm trying to drive at the same time. But what your people have, you know, what part do they play in society? You know, as far as like, you know, the history and all, what you have as a people, how you have advanced the world, you know, everyone in it, in the world, because of what, excuse me, what you were taught by the Creator, what you had learned from the Creator. Once you learn that you are a direct descendant of the Creator, okay, well then you learn that you find out that you have. So much power and authority just because of who you are, and that everybody has come from you. Everybody on the planet comes from you. Everybody else on the planet has learned from you as a people. Well, with that, I'll say this. With the knowledge that we were taught by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, we were taught how to become independent of this world, which we were made dependent during slavery, okay, upon this world. Well, Elijah Muhammad teaches us to go back to the earth, okay, agriculture, yes, start growing your own food. You know, if you don't have a green thumb, don't make a difference. Drop a seed in dirt, put some water on it. This is the time we live in now where Almighty God Allah wants to bless us because he has made his promise to us that we are going to inherit the earth. But we can't inherit the earth if we have no finances, if we don't have the knowledge to become independent and how to use those finances to better ourselves. But the main thing is to go back to the earth and start growing your own food where you live longer, you live a healthier life, whereas we can start controlling our own destiny, controlling our own neighborhoods, give the children something to do, some way to make money besides being out here in the streets. So me, myself, I have a natural interest in agriculture, plants, fish, I mean, all kinds of stuff. So basically, that's what I'm doing. I'm planting as many different types of seeds as I can because I know this is what the messenger has been teaching us, and this is what the minister, in almost all the speeches, he's pumping it all the time.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I hope I answered your question, brother.
Oh, yes, sir, brother. Well, see, the thing is that the answer that you give is the answer. See, that's because that's Allah in you. So that is the answer. And assalamu alaikum, Queen Aziza.
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. And I'm going to pose the same question to you so that we can get, you know, a balance here so we can get the feminine perspective. What is knowledge itself, and why is it so important for black people to gain this knowledge or education?
Well, you know, before there was education in the world, upon our creation, we were given a nature, and that nature was one of righteousness. Now, the grafted one was so clever in knowing that your very nature will educate you in a way that will make you conducive to survive whatever the earth's challenges may have been. So the first thing they did was strip you of your nature. So knowledge of self is knowledge of Allah, the God that created you, and not just having a textbook knowledge of God when we read Message to the Black Man, when we read the Holy Bible, when we read the Quran, but having a knowledge of God within one's own mind and being able to revert back to their own nature. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad only had a third grade education, but he is the most magnificent teacher that this world has ever seen. So a textbook knowledge does not give you knowledge of self, but the rebirth or the renewal or the rejuvenation of your very nature in which Allah created you will give you the accurate knowledge of self. In Genesis, in the Bible, it says that Allah God created us in his image and in his likeness. And a lot of people, even though when they decided to unlock the Bible, that teaching in itself was mistaught by our enemy. So when God created us in his image and in his likeness, means that he fashioned us into shape in our physical form, but in our likeness of him, in our power of that he gave us, in our own capabilities, we are gods. So once we learn we are gods, and once we learn what a god is, and God is a force, a god is a power, once we learn that, then we have the knowledge of self. And everything else is secondary, because when you are God, all you have to do is say be, and it is.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, ma'am. Wa alaikum salam. Praise be to Allah. Brother Kerr.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Oh, man. All right, we off to a wonderful start, wonderful start. And I also want to let individuals know, anyone that is listening, you can, who's listening via telephone, if you have a question or even a comment, you know, hit the number one on your keypad and we'll get to you. We'll make your mic live. Also, if I'm not mistaken, if you're in the chat room, type your question in and that we will ask the question for you so that you can, we can get it answered. Now, Brother Curry, you mentioned, I just heard you mention the fact that you were dealing with agriculture.
Yes, sir.
I'd like for you to go more in detail, more in depth with the things that you do where agriculture is concerned, because as you yourself said, that is the main thrust of the three-year economic program of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, which the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has reintroduced, and I believe he's reintroduced it now. This is the second time, because he reintroduced it, I believe, in 91 originally, but he's gone more in force about it now, and one of the main thrusts is agriculture. So I'd like for you to share exactly the things that you do, you know, practical application of that.
Okay. Yes, sir. Well, basically, one, I breed tilapia. Basically, that's a hobby that I've had as far as breeding fish. I've had that hobby since I was a young child. Allah blessed me with, with the ability to recreate the surroundings, you know, so that the fish would, I guess, to naturally induce the fish to spawn. I used to have tilapia as pets when I was young, before I went to the military. Of course, I didn't keep them, because if I knew then what I know now, the nation would be sitting pretty, because we'd have had a lot of fish farms around the nation. But I didn't know. So some years ago, about 2.5-3 years ago, I came across a DVD, How to Raise Tilapia for a Profit. And at the time, I was building HHO engines, and what these were, I was building some engine sites so that you can take water and extract the hydrogen and use that in your car or your vehicle to save on gas. I was building those. So, you know, I read it and I understood it pretty good. So, but when I came across the, how to breed tilapia for a profit, I was like, oh man, that's up my alley, you know, because that's just something I like to do naturally. And so I breed tilapia. And actually, the process is called aquaponics. And basically, you have a pool of fish. Tilapia is pretty much the easiest one to raise and breed. And so you would take the water, the water in the tank, you irrigate that over a table of, I guess, gravel or what they call grow stones. And in that table, you either have some some seeds or some small plants. And basically, the gravel or the gravel, whatever you use for gravel, that filters the water. And the seeds or plants will utilize the fish's waste as food. So I tell you, we had some stuff grow last year on the table. I remember planting this, the Swiss chard and mustard greens, lettuce and some other things. We planted that stuff in the middle of December. I think by the middle of February, we had Swiss chard that was standing 5 feet tall on that table. So I know that would normally take 6, 7, 8 months to grow, maybe 9 months to grow that tall. That stuff grew in just 2.5 months. The fish's waste is, like I said, it's a natural fertilizer. So the plants grow really fast. And as far as the fish breeding, the tilapia, once they start breeding, they just don't stop, you know. I tell you what, you know, during my readings, I've always, read that tilapia only breed in the water that's a temperature of, 72 to 83. To show you how Allah is with us, we had tilapia breed in 50 to 60 degree water last year. I've never heard of that. I came outside one day and we had 700 to 800 babies floating around. And like I said, it was in the middle of the winter and I think I didn't have all my heaters I needed, but they bred. So that just, told me that Allah is with this right here. So, I stuck with it and now we've got some fish. We had a couple mishaps where we were at because we just didn't have everything we needed. But I tell you now, we've got some breeders that are like, over a foot long. So, I'm looking to start, obtain like 300 foot long or more breeding females because then we can really control some stuff. We can really control the selling of, tilapia in the Midwest. We can take some of this business back from the stores because it's our time now for us to own some things. So that's what I'm working towards. I also farm, grow crops. As a matter of fact, I just by the grace of Allah, was given a house today, and it has like an acre and a half or two of yard space in the backyard. So I'm looking to really do a lot of planting. I'm looking to buy some sheep, some goats, some chickens for eggs. I have a brother by the name of Aha Son Pinyaki. He raises bees for raw honey. So I've been watching him, learning from him. So we also have a beehive or two. We're just trying to do some things as much as we can. I know it's not going to be nothing very large, but it's a start. And the thing is, get our children over there to start, helping and learning. Because one thing about the children, they only see what's out here, what's shown on television. They don't see just how good it is to get back in the earth and, get to the earth and start growing. And once they plant the seeds and they see the plants growing from those seeds and then they see the fruit or, the fruit or vegetable growth, they love it. So that's what I'm working on. I want to get a lot of our children over there so that, we can teach them. And, once you get the children into it, that's it. Because those are the ones that are going to be, they're our future. Me, you, and other people, we're older now. In some years, it's going to be time for us now. I hate to say that, but it's true. So the children are the ones that's really going to be our leaders. They're going to be the ones that go out there and do do this work in a few years. So basically, that's just, in a nutshell, that's what I have going on.
Yes, sir. All praises due to Allah. Well, and I agree with you. The children are our future. But you speak for yourself on that old part. See, me, I'm just well seasoned, black man.
Yes, sir.
And what you just said, though, but and that's beautiful. So these are skills that you have that you are actually willing to impart to anyone who's interested in it.
Oh, yes, sir. Most definitely.
Yes, absolutely. Well, now, and that also segues, or leads right into my next question, which is, what is the difference between knowledge that benefits the slave master and an education that enables us to do for self?
Well, knowledge that benefits the slave master, that knowledge that benefits him will keep us crippled. He won't impart his knowledge on us. He'll tell us what we need to know to keep his world going, to make his world a greater place for him. But for us, we will remain in hell. But when you teach us a knowledge, a knowledge of self and how to do for self and how to grow our own food and stuff like that, then that will free us from his chains and his shackles. And that is what he does not want.
as long as he can keep us under his foot, well, you know, two things cannot occupy the same space at one time. So as long as he's on top and we're not learning to do for self, we'll continue to stay on the bottom. But as soon as we learn whether he wants to give up that space or not, once we learn ourselves how to do for self, well, then he has to give up that spot. And that's, you know, he's not going to do it willingly. So we have to, you know, study, you know, and I don't care if you're reading a book, if you're studying nature, if you're studying rocks, if you're just studying the soil, we have to be studious some way, you know, nature, you know, with nature, because you can learn so much from, you know, nature by itself. And when you learn how to, you learn how to take nature and, okay, you know, and use what is in nature to grow or to, you know, to what am I trying to say? When you learn how to elevate yourself, okay, well, then once you start growing, it's no stopping. You just keep on that track, and like I said, he can't stop you. The only thing that's stopping us is our own ignorance.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, absolutely. And Queen Aziza, same question.
Okay, let me just make sure I got the question right. Are you asking what is the difference between knowledge of self and knowledge for the slave master? Is that what you asked?
What I'm asking more so is what is the difference between knowledge that benefits the slave master as opposed to knowledge that benefits us or that benefits self?
Well, I mean that's an obvious answer to that. I mean, you know, of course you want to always benefit yourself before you benefit your oppressor. But let's understand something about education. All education is good. You know, even if you learn something negative, you figure out the positive side of it all. There's nothing wrong with education. It's the application of education that has plagued our people and got us to the state to where we are. I mean, even in their own arrogance, in their higher institutions of learning, they give you a master's degree. Your master's degree allows you to work for your master in a capacity that he approves of. So, you know, it's nothing wrong with education, but the application of education is very vital, because you think about it. If the oppressor can pay you $100,000, $200,000 a year, imagine how much he's making off of you.
Yes,
so the education that we have, you know, we need to train our children in the way that we wish for them to go. So we need to stop telling our children to grow up and go to college and get a job in corporate America and work 30 years. And hopefully, if the government has not mishandled or misappropriated your money, you might have a pension and a retirement and Social Security, whatever. What we need to tell our children is that they need to take the education that they get from these higher institutions of learning and become entrepreneurs. So really it starts with us. And a lot of us who are college degreed, we go and we think that we have arrived on the academic scale. However, if you are not doing for self, if you are not working for the slave master to accomplish something for self, then your education has not benefited you at all, because you are still a slave. You're just a slave with some more letters he didn't gave you. He had already changed your name, so he didn't put some more letters behind it and make you one of his house niggas. So, you know, we have to learn how to continue learning and continue to grow outside of the institutions that have been established by our oppressors. And that's my answer, Brother Kareem.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. Thank you.
very, very much for an excellent, excellent answer. I mean, it's right on point, which, I mean, this, I'm just watching this eyes rolling tonight because that segues and leads right into question number three, which is, why is it, and I'm directing this to you right now, Brother Terry, why is it so important to get out of the names of our former slave masters and their children?
Well, you know, I don't know how many people have seen the movie about, what is that, What's Love Got to Do With? Well, it reminds me of that. You know, when she was getting a divorce from Ike, she wanted to keep his name. Now, he wanted to get rid of it. She wanted to keep it. The point I'm making is that name, you know, to me, she should have got rid of it because she's still tied to Ike Turner. So with us having our slave master's name, but in 2013, we're saying we're free. Well, to me, it's like, okay, we still his property, you know. That's the first thing that you get married. You take a woman takes on the man's name, and it's like she's his. Well, we still have our slave master's name, so that does just it shows, you know, tells everybody that we are still his niggas. Are Negroes. And once we get rid of that name and take our names our own, then the rest of the world will start respecting us just off that. I mean, just that little bit alone will make them look at us differently because, you know, I have to say this. I was told by an African one day that, you know, they call us Akata, meaning cotton pickers, okay? He told us that, you know, I said, so meaning you really see us as slaves still? He said, yes, sir. And he said, that's why we don't associate with you as much. He told me that. So that right there, you know, that really, you know, told me something. So, you know, I'm so glad that when you come into the Nation of Islam, you receive an X. Yeah, I might not know who I am, but I know who I'm not now. I'm showing these people out here, these ex-slave masters, that I'm not your Negro anymore. So
yes,
I hope that knows what you're looking for.
Well, brother, again, like I say, what I'm looking for is the truth. And see, the truth is what you speak. When you speak from your heart, when you speak from your mind, from your own experience, then that's the truth. So that's what I'm looking for. I mean, so it's not that I'm looking for you to answer in a particular way, and I want you to understand that, and also anybody in the listening audience. Like I said, we welcome, remember, this is your show, actually. We welcome your comments and your questions. So that being the case, we're asking that please call in. Let us know what you think. Now, in keeping with our subject, which is knowledge to benefit self, just so that we can stay on track and really have an understanding of what we're dealing with. I earlier went into Webster's dictionary to get their definition of a few words, and the first word that I got a definition for is the word knowledge. And they describe knowledge, there were a lot of definitions, but this kind of encapsulates what knowledge is. It says that knowledge is the range of one's information, the body of truth, the fact or condition of knowing something with familiarity gained through experience or association. And the reason I share that is because many individuals think, as Queen Aziza mentioned earlier, about, you know, if you read a textbook, you go to school and get the theory, you know, while you're getting your education. And so you go through and you get these good grades, and we should get good grades. This is true. And they come out with these letters behind their slave master's name. As you said, you're adding some more of their stuff to something that already has no value to you, which, as you just said, brother, makes you or identifies you as yet being their property. And the individual actually believes that they have knowledge. But it's claimed, it states that you can't have knowledge
without having experience. You know, now, I mean, just look at the word, knowledge. If you split it up, put a hyphen between K-N-O-W and then the last part, which is L-E-D-G-E, it's no ledge. And see, a ledge, usually you have a ledge on the window, so a ledge is something you can stand on. So knowledge is something that I gain. See, in other words, before I have experience with it, before I have applied it, put it into practical application, it's simply information. It's some information I've absorbed. It doesn't become knowledge until I actually apply it and know for myself how it works. I have experience with it. You know. So on that note, brother, I also want to ask you again. I like to say you, I'm very interested in knowing about when you talk about the agriculture. Now, if I remember correctly, there was a point in time you and I were talking, and you mentioned to me something about a hoop house. And could you explain what that is?
What a hoop house is?
Yes, sir.
Basically, you know, a hoop house is, well, it could come in several shapes. But basically what it is, it's a structure that's made out of plastic, and you can use PVC or metal. But basically what that structure does is it allows you to grow produce in it all year round, summer, spring, fall, and winter. Of course, in the winter, you know, depending on what you're growing, you have to warm it. You have to keep it warm. There's several ways you can keep it warm. But by keeping it warm, like I said, depending on what you're growing, you can grow summer stuff that grows in the summer, like, what, strawberries, greens, squash, and 10 below weather outside. Like I said, we were able to grow something, you know, grow greens in it all year round, and I tell you, everybody else around us who had hoop houses or who were growing stuff, who were farming, they had to stop in October or so. But they were also fascinated how some little Negroes was able to grow stuff all year round. We had some of everybody, even Monsanto, which is, you know, the enemy, you know, as far as I'm concerned, but they were really interested in how are you making that happen. So, you know, basically, like I said, it's a structure where you keep it warm all year round. You can raise fish or you can grow produce in there. And basically that's what it is. Just something you can keep farming throughout the year, where farm people who farm outside, they have to stop, but you don't.
Yes, sir. So would you describe it then as a self-contained environment for producing food stuff?
Yes, sir.
I mean, can you give us a little more detail as far as, I mean, for example, if I had you to come to, say, my property, and I said, well, man, I want a hoop house, how would you, just briefly, I mean, you don't have to go into a whole lot of detail, but give me some detail on how you would set that up. I mean, how do you, from start to finish. You know, like I said, I know it's probably a lot of detail, but just a brief synopsis of that.
Okay. Basically, you would, first off, just set the hoop house up, either be round or it can be like a tunnel shape, what they call it, a high tunnel. You can use PVC, and you, like, have PVC or fencing posts, and it will be like ribs where you lay the plastic over the top of it. Okay, and the PVC or the fence post is the support to hold the plastic up. Okay, you would be closed in from all the way down to the bottom. Okay, let me see. This is trying to remember exactly what we would do. Basically, you have a door. You have your tanks inside of it. Let me see. You have your tanks where you raise your fish in it. If you want fish, you have your growing beds for your plants. Okay, now for the summertime, because it gets really warm, and actually, like in the wintertime, that hoop house could be somewhere around 80 or 90 degrees inside of it. When the sun comes up and hits that plastic, it heats up really fast in there in the wintertime. And when the sun goes down, it'll get cold, so you have to have some type of, you know, heating, some way to heat it up.
You can have a wood-burning stove, or like what I was doing, the water for my fish, I heat my water so it would heat up the hoop house. Okay? Like I said, basically you have your fish, if you want fish, or you just have your vegetation or raising the vegetation. I'm trying to think what else to tell you. Basically, that's it, really. That's all it is. Just like I said, it's a structure with a plastic covering with a PVC, the metal fistfuls for ribs, and you have your plants and your fish in there, and it'll stay warm all year round. And pretty much, I mean, really, that's it. That's it in a nutshell.
Yes, sir. Well, that's what I was looking for. Like I said, I know there's, I know you have, little ins and outs, but that's what I that in essence was an answer that I was looking for because. Again, like I say, it is the purpose of this show to offer to individuals practical solutions. You know, we don't just want to discuss the issues or talk about what's wrong or say what an individual should do. We also want to give them information as to how to answer that. In other words, we tell you what you should do. Okay, well, then tell me which way to give me some instruction on it. And I appreciate that, bro.
Yes, sir.
Now, our next question is, and this is for you, and then I'm going to go to Queen Aziz. I'm going to let her know ahead of time. This fourth question is, what is the first thing we should do after beginning to gain knowledge to benefit self? And in your mind, brother, what should that be? What should be the first thing an individual should do?
The first thing I say we should do once you gain knowledge is acquire land. There's nothing you can do really for yourself if you don't have land to do it on. And basically, that's what the slave master really wants to keep us from doing is acquiring land, because that's your freedom. I mean, when you have, like right now, I'm in an apartment. It's so much that I can, it's only so much I can do in that apartment. It really limits me. But with a house or with really just some open land, now you can raise your crops. You can raise your animals, it's just unlimited, really, what you can do. So that's my first thing I would say, acquire land.
Yes, sir. All right. And Queen Aziza, same question.
Well, if I had to answer that question, Brother Kareem, I like Brother Kerry's point, from the economic development side of things. However, it's good to have our own money, our own land. But, when we obtain knowledge of self, then it becomes about application and application of the natural order of things. Because if you know something and you're not living it, then it doesn't do you any good to have this knowledge. So upon learning that knowledge, the biggest room in the house is the one for self-improvement. So the application of knowledge in all aspects of life, educationally, spiritually, socially, become a better husband, a better wife, a better sister, a better auntie, a better friend, just becoming a better person, becoming a better servant to God and his people. And, with all those things being applied, the blessings of Allah will be bestowed upon us, because as Brother Kerry talks about buying land and things of that nature, it's going to take a unified effort from our people. And if we don't learn how to come together in unity and see the God in other people as we begin to see it in ourselves and love one another, then everything else is for naught. So we have to first take that knowledge, share that knowledge. So each one reach one, and when you reach one, teach one.
Yes, ma'am. All praise to Allah. Thank you. Thank you very much. Again, like I say, see, that's why we got to have that balance. This cannot be one-sided. In all our activities must have balance, as men, You know, I'll use that term, you know. As members of the male persuasion, we must, and I know this for myself from my own personal experience, I thank a lot for the fact that I was able to learn it, but we have to be able to listen to our sisters, to listen to our women, and learn. We have to learn. I mean, in the Bible, it makes this statement. It says this, and this is staying on topic. It makes this statement. I mean, and I hear a lot of individuals, you know, when they come from the Bible, they'll make this, they'll use this, but they only talk about part of it. They'll come with, well, you know, it says, wives, submit yourselves to your husband. However, in that same place, it also says, husbands, submit yourselves to your wives. And there's a reason for that. It's because we're going nowhere without one another. And now to continue on, the next word, because we're talking about knowledge to benefit self, the next word that I did look up and get some information from Webster on is the word to, and that's T-O, not T-W-O. And the word to is described as this. It says it acts as a function word, indicating movement, action toward a place, person, or condition, also direction, a place, or point. And then it also, in the Latin, it says it means until. And with that definition, Brother Curry, I want to ask you, you know, it says we're talking about knowledge to benefit self. So with that definition of to, it says it's a function word indicating movement or action toward a place, person, or condition. What condition should we be moving toward?
Okay, I'm trying to explain a little bit more quickly. What condition as far as...
Okay, in other words, with the current condition of our people, I mean, we are, as they say, last hired, first fired, and now it appears that we are no hired. This is what's going on because they have no jobs for us.
Okay.
We are people that are constantly killing one another. We are people that don't have basic knowledge of how to live, you know, so that we can survive. These people in that condition, I'm asking, since we're talking about knowledge to benefit self, then what condition, what action should we be taking, and what condition should we be moving toward? You know, what's the direction we as a people should be going in?
Okay, I'm thinking of several. I have several things come to mind. You know, one is like I said, we're talking about, you know, independence. Another one comes to mind. I would say, I want to say, I guess, unity. I'm trying to actually understand exactly what you're saying. I mean, what comes to my mind is, like I said, mainly it's independence. That's just what is on my head what's in my head at all times. I don't know if that's what you're looking for, but that's what really comes to mind. Independence and unity. You know, we can't do anything without one another. We, you know, I don't want to say that, but basically, I mean, that what comes to my mind is independence and unity. I don't know what else you're looking for.
Well, I mean, when you say independence, brother, I mean, what is independence to you? You know,
independent of the white man's world. You know, of course, like you said, we're the last hired and the first fired. Well, you know, we have to start looking towards starting our own business. Quit relying on this job that we may have or that we think we need. Yeah, we need a way to money, you know, that we need because this world revolves around money. But we have to figure out, we have to start answering, you know, our needs. We need to start providing food, clothing, and shelter. All right, and food is number one. We eat all day long.
We eat several meals a day. Well, that's the main thing right there that will bring us independence, you know, by growing our own food, you know, independence, the independence where, like I said, clothing. We need to start making our own clothes. We need to start owning our own businesses, own our own homes, you know, making our own homes. Those three things right there, we answer those three needs right there, and that would just put us, move us forward so much. But, you know, we can't keep saying we're free and we're not doing any of those. We're free, or we might be physically free, but still, we're still tied to slave masters. Going here begging for everything, and now we're in a state now where he don't have any more work for us, but he don't have work for his own people. So what are we going to do? We have to, you know, figure out what it is that we need and start asking our own needs.
Yes, sir. Now, and on that same point, now, yes, ma'am, go right ahead.
We have a caller that's been holding for a while. Can we take a question?
Yes, ma'am, certainly, always. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, area code 203. Your mic is live. As-salamu alaykum.
Assalamu alaikum, this is Brother Chris Muhammad. How is my family?
Fine, all praise
be
to Allah.
Good. Praise be to Allah, yes, sir.
I just stopped on by to give the greetings to everybody and to let y'all know y'all are doing a wonderful, wonderful job. And knowledge itself is very, very important. Anybody want to ask me why?
Yes, sir.
Why?
Well, you see,
yes, sir.
How can a man do anything if he don't know how to do it?
That's right.
Knowledge itself. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, get knowledge to benefit yourself. Well, see, a lot of us are just coming up, and we don't even know what a benefit is. Some of our women say, I need a man with benefits. Well, what kind of benefits you got, brother? Well, some say, I got a good job, a car, a little bit of money. You know, I sell a little bit of weed or whatever you do. But those are benefits, a benefit that can contribute to your own development in whatever way it is. See, when you have knowledge, you have an education. And when you have a proper education of you, you can begin to move out on that knowledge. See, a lot of folks don't understand the movement from one level to another. So you can't stay in kindergarten all your life. You got to go to the what? The first grade. Eventually, and in that process of time. Oh, that's a nice word. Time. Because this is the time. The black man must understand that this is the time for him to use what he knows to manifest from that and build something for himself. But in order for him to do that, he has to put himself in a constructive mind frame, see, and get on the ladder of constructive leadership. Look, constructive leadership, man, that's a job, see. Respect the person's integrity. Respect for your own integrity, because you are in a position now of integrity. See, these are words, the vocabularies that means something. You know, when I was coming up young in the nation, a brother told me, he said, "Brother, don't teach like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught you. Go ahead and find what it means." See, and give a clear understanding of what it is so that you are not confused and others are not confused about who you are and what you're doing. I'll give you a prime example. Look, if you're going to open up a business and you say, well, I'm going to open up a shoe store. All right, well, what are you going to do, take some of them old shoes and then sit on the curb? No. You're going to figure out what kind of shoe this man wear, what kind of shoe this lady wear. You're going to figure out when you can sell it and why you want to sell it and how you're going to sell it. These are all fundamental practices that are called the fundamentals of management. But you got to be a man to manage the fundamentals. See? The problem with the black man is he don't know himself enough to even be a man. So now we got some of these, at one level we were called just Negroes, and the other level we were called niggas, and now we got intelligent Negroes, you know, who think they know so much today and don't know a damn thing. Because if you knew enough, why you ain't bringing yourself out of the condition? You know, I heard a brother bash Minister Farrakhan for the example he's been setting over his years in position. Let me ask you something. Mr. Farrakhan did the work to study. Ain't nobody come in there and teach him how to study after the Honorable Elijah Muhammad departed. He went in and studied more and began to evolve into where he is. How many of us are evolving from what we used to be?
Come on, so brother Chris.
The right. Benefits of knowledge itself is to put ourselves in a better position to stop the warning criticism that keeps us surviving, man. Jealousy destroys from within. I can't go to my brother and say I love my brother in New York and then hate my brother in Chicago. I probably made that. You know, and I was just, you know, praise be to Allah. I was sitting back and I was listening, you know, and this fire started brewing in me. You know, and I got to tell my story. Me and my wife created a publication that we knew nothing about. And we didn't even know why we were creating this publication. Lord, we were going through so many trials and tribulations, but I sat down and I said, you know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is right. Minister Farrakhan is right. If I don't know myself, I can't produce nothing from myself. So I began to study. I went to school, and I went and looked into business management. Yeah, see, that's a course that white folks have. Well, I got that, and I brought it back to my people. You know, you got people from Japan coming over here. They're getting the knowledge. To benefit who? It ain't benefiting you, because we over there catering to them at the Chinese restaurant. They're getting all their knowledge, taking it back across sea. The Arab man is coming over here, getting a package store in your neighborhood, and everybody buying it. But wait a minute. Where's your store at, black man? Why you can't learn enough to make yourself rich? See? There was a book out called If You Think You Can Grow Rich. Well, Jesus said, as a man thinketh, so is he.
That's
what
right.
Are you thinking about? If you're thinking about being broke, you're going to be broke. That's what it is. So Muhammad's economic blueprint is right on time for the refined and divine black man and woman today. And if we go ahead and learn from it and extract from it and produce from it, then we can benefit from our work and labor. So I thank you for your time, and if I took up too much time, please forgive me.
No,
that's all right. This is my brother Chris. Brother Chris is the publisher of Hammer Magazine. He's also the manager for our beloved brother Alexander Abdul Hafiz Muhammad, better known as Problem 13. Thank you, my dear brother, so very much. Thank you for supporting us, and thank you for calling in with that knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. You teaching hard tonight, and I know where that fire come from, because we just got off the phone with some fools. So.
Thank you, my brother.
I feel your fear, brother. I feel it.
Thank you,
brother Chris.
I'll continue to bless all of you.
Thank
yes,
you,
sir.
Dear
you
brother.
Too, my brother.
Same to you
right
and your
here.
Family. All right, we have another question. Area code 832. Your mic is live.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
This is Brother Michael Muhammad out of Houston, and I just have a quick question. I wanted to know, where are we in terms of acquiring some land, so far as picking out a stretch of land, putting together a team of qualified people to negotiate for the land, and where are we in terms of financing? And I'll hang up and listen to your answer. Thank you. Alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. And thank you for your question.
Thank you.
Queen Aziza, I don't have that information at current. I mean, do you? I can answer for myself personally, but I can't answer for us as a nation because I don't have that information at this point. And I would like to apologize to our brother for not having that information at this point. However, if you would please continue to listen, I will make sure that I get that information and we'll put it out in a future broadcast because I don't have that information where we are.
I have some of that information, Brother Green.
Great, you can thank you. Life saver.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. When the minister made his keynote address at Savior's Day, he, and I can't recall all of them, he identified certain states that were basically for sale. One of the states was Mississippi. Another one was Michigan. A lot of these states are in the upper north region because of how the economic, you know, industries have you know, fallen out of sorts. You know, the General Motors has closed down. A lot of the plants that were producing goods have closed down. So in these cities, in these states in particular, I know Kansas, I think Kansas was one as well, Mississippi and Detroit were some areas that the minister was actually looking at to accumulate large masses of land. However, let me suggest that, you know, when we're talking about acquiring land, you know, it is so unfeasible sometimes for us to just pick up and move to one particular area. But if we work in clusters, if we work in small groups of people who are willing to invest in land and then make that land productive, if we cultivate that land as a group, well, just if you look at the practices of the Asian people when they come over here, or of the Hispanic people when they come over here, some of them might live 10 families to a house, but in the next 2 or 3 years, you'll see that Jose has a house, and then, you know, Lupe and them have a house. So sometimes we have to do things collectively together before we can acquire things of our own. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that we need to get with like minds so we can create business development amongst our own people, because when white people get ready to do business and they get ready to pull in investors, they put their differences aside, if there are any, and they work together for the common goal. And so we have to get with like-minded people who have the same aspirations as we do, and we need to make those things happen. Pull our resources was one of the other things that the minister spoke profoundly on, pulling our human as well as our financial resources together to make things happen for us. So even if you're not in any of those cities that have been depleted of their economic development, like Detroit, like some places in Mississippi, in areas where you are, especially here in Texas, Brother Michael, there's a lot of land, and the land here is still significantly cheap. So if you're talking about buying acres and acres of land, I would suggest that you get a cluster of those who have like minds and who have the same vision as you do, and start from there. And I hope we answered your question, Brother Michael. And thank you for calling in.
Okay, Brother Green. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Like I say, lifesavers. Yeah? There you go. And that balance is again. Got to have it in all aspects. All right. Now, we've covered, we're down to actually our last question. But before I get to our last question, you know, the question that I have, again, we're talking about knowledge to benefit self. And
you know, before I even go into this definition, and it's the definition of the word benefit, which our brother Chris Muhammad so beautifully described and gave us a definition to, which we can carry into practical application, because that's what we're about here at Conscious Black Nation and Nation Building Movement. I want to say that I want to thank our two callers, and I want to thank everybody that's listening already, because this is the energy that drives us. I want to thank Brother Curry ahead of time. And the word now, benefit, is described as an act of kindness, something that promotes well-being, financial help, advantage. And in the Latin, it's benefactum, which means to have use and enjoyment of. And then also the last word is self, and self is described as that which defines you from everything else or unique. Now, our last question is this, and this is for everybody. This is roundtable. This is for Brother Curry first, then Queen Aziza, myself also, and then whoever's listening or checking us out or listening to us via telephone or over the internet. That question is, what are your suggestions as to practical applications of knowledge of self in everyday life? And Brother Curry, how would you answer that?
Brother, I will, if you don't mind, I would like you to go with the sister and I'll go after her. I'm still driving and trying to do some at the same time. Can you do that?
I understand. I understand. Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Well, Queen Aziza?
Wow. Okay. All right. Ask the question one more time.
Okay. What are some suggestions, or what are your suggestions as to practical applications of knowledge of self in everyday life?
Wow. Well, Brother Kareem, if I had to answer that honestly.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't wanna come across cocky or gung ho or anything of that nature, but I'm just gonna speak to the condition of our people, and you know how I am. I shoot straight from the hip, and I'm gonna always keep it real.
That's
you know,
right.
Once you have the knowledge of self, you know, and the knowledge of God, you have to see yourself in these scriptures. You know, you have to stop reading the Quran and reading the Bible as if you're reading some kind of fairy tale story. So
come on now.
When the minister is talking about the time and what must be done, we are in that time. We are the representative of the children of Israel. And if you don't see yourself, then you got a serious problem. So what I'm really fed up about is people who claim to have the knowledge, but you don't know how to apply it. I'm fed up about people who are claiming to be pro-black, but then you don't like the messenger, so you going to kill the message. And not only are you killing it within yourself, but you're killing it within your people, when you know in your heart of hearts it is a life-giving and a life-saving teaching. So the first thing I will ask people to do, when you have a knowledge of self, then keep it real with yourself and keep it real with those others that are around you. Because if you're not doing that, you are right in a line with the opposition. So stop playing like you don't know the truth. That's what we have to do. We have to stop playing. And, you know, I put an article in Brother Chris's magazine talking about the 52-week series that the minister is doing. But what's going to happen at the end of these 52 weeks? You know, we have a newspaper next to this one called The Final Call. Why is it called The Final Call? So, but people today don't think there is going to be a final call. But the evidence of what's going on in the world today, everything that the minister has taught us, everything that the messenger taught us, is coming to pass, and people still turning a deaf ear. But this is what I want my people to stop doing. Stop thinking that all your color is your kind, and stop thinking that all your skin folks is your kin folks. because they're not. And everybody is not going to be saved. So, yes, we need to plant seeds. Absolutely, we need to plant seeds. However, like my father said, my father, Johnny 23X, say, don't plant your seeds in the desert. Don't plant your seeds where they will not grow. So we have to really apply that knowledge in every aspect of life. Stop walking around saying you're a black god with your pants hanging off your behind. Stop walking around saying you're a black goddess and you got a booty on your chest because your breast is hanging out. Stop walking around commanding respect that you don't give nor do you deserve to receive. So stop setting standards for others that you yourself cannot reach. And I'm going to stop.
No, go ahead.
That's just coming from a different place. Brother Chris, your mic is live, brother. I know you got something to say. Go ahead, brother. I'm about to go there.
Yes, yeah, salam alaikum, dear brothers and sisters.
Yes, sir.
The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, do not be ashamed to seek guidance and instruction from your brother or sister who has more experience, education, and training than you ever had.
That's right.
He or her assistant. You know, it's time to handle our own business. In Proverbs 16, it says, he that handles a matter wisely shall find good, and whosoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he or she. So Muhammad's economic blueprint is a divine plan for a divine people that calls for those who accept it to advance from it and apply it into our daily living. That means we must learn how to handle business. Every human being is constantly engaged in some sort of activity in order to satisfy their unlimited wants. Every day we come across the word business, businessman or businesswoman, either directly or indirectly. See, business has become an essential part of this modern world and modern time. Business is an organization, an economic system where goods and services are exchanged for and between one another for a profit, of course. Every business requires some form of investment, beloved. And every business looks for consumers to whom they can use as an output, and those products or services can be sold to. So take Pepsi, for instance, right?
Yes, sir.
They're a privately owned company, and they make millions and millions of dollars, and they sell you nothing.
Mm.
You know, business is an economic activity. You know, your human body and genetic makeup is economics. Look at your body. You'll sit there and eat your food. Well, it tastes good to the tongue, right? Yep.
That's right.
It goes on down to the belly, right? And then
that's
right. Through the belly, and it gives you life, and it gives you the nutrients you need. It does its job, and then you send it to the dump site. Right?
That's right.
See, a lot gave us, we were born with economics. You know, we were born in the nature of economic activity. See, business is an economic activity, which is related with continuous and regular production and distribution. See, all of us need food, clothing, and shelter, right?
That's right.
We also have many needs in the house, you know, to satisfy our daily lives. We meet these requirements from the shoekeeper, and the shoekeeper gets what he gets from the wholesaler, and the wholesaler gets what he gets from the manufacturer. and the shoekeeper and the wholesaler and the manufacturer, they all doing business. And ain't nobody supporting them but me and you. They take
come
our
on.
Money and go and have business, and we ain't got no business. See? You know, here goes though. I want to lay out some features of business. See, characteristics or features of business have to be discussed, because if we don't know what it looks like when it comes, how we gonna recognize it? See, the number one thing we should recognize is that when we exchange goods and services, every business activity is a direct or indirectly concerned with the exchange of goods and services for money to produce what? A profit. See, every year, look at Walmart. Walmart has something called Black Friday. Now, many of us thought Black Friday was just, you know, a place where black folks gathered at. I thought it was a concert or something. They said, well, Black Friday, I guess we better get on down there. See, but a lot of folks don't got a clue what Black Friday really means. See, all year round, let me tell you what it means. Because, see, I used to work for Walmart, so I do know what it means. See, Black Friday is the time of the year, right, where all
yes,
of sir. These businesses get you to come in and they offer products and they mark up 85 to 400% of what it's really worth and get you to buy it, because they done spent all their money all year round trying to keep the business up and running, and they hoping that on Black Friday you'll come in there with your little coins and nickels and piggy banks and everything and help pull them out of the red into the black, which represents profit. Ain't that something? The word black to them represents profit, but they call us niggas coons and chimes.
Come on.
See, they have their objectives. See, you know, their business, in their business they exchange goods and services in a regular feature, on a regular basis. I wanna bring to mind a man who started Walmart. His name was Sam Walton. Now, Sam Walton was one of those good old boys from Arkansas, and he had a family and a vision and a dream and a little bit of money and a little bit of product, and he said, man, you know, let me put together a store. You know, they called it the mom and pop store back then, see? Don't you know this man used to go in there and he would take a whole bunch of products and put them on the shelf, and if he didn't have enough, he would take empty boxes and put them behind the product so they would look full. In the streets, we call that fronting, and that's exactly what he was doing. He did a whole lot of fronting, and that fronting got him a little something. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes you got to look like money in order to get some money, and Sam knew that principle. He knew that. Even right now, in some of his stores, you see that carried out in practice. You'll see items brought to the front. There ain't nothing in the back. Why do they do that? They bring it to the front because they want you to buy it. They want you to. You know, nobody likes going in the store that ain't got nothing in it. So what is that to say about the black man? You think somebody going to come to you just because you claim to be an entrepreneur but ain't got nothing to show for it?
Come on now.
Sometimes you got to make yourself look like money in order to get you some money. See, why do you think the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave us a dress code? He said, "Clean it up." Because if you hold a dirty glass to a clean glass, which one you gonna drink out of?
That's right.
Which one you gonna drink out of? You got to drink out of the one that's best for you.
Yes, sir.
You've got to understand today that the science of everything must come to play. Support the independent, self-funded businesses, musicians, bands, instructors, and writers, and photographers, designers, recording studios, music artists. Support your own. and teach and train your own about yourself, about themselves. But in order to do that, we got to have a knowledge to benefit ourselves. We got to start at home and then spread abroad. See, I can't tell you nothing about me, and you and I don't know nothing about me. That's like me getting involved with a relationship. So I'm like, hey, girl, you know me, because I don't. Yeah, I know you. You that fool from around such and such street. Well, can I come home with you? Hell, man, you can't come home with me. You ain't got nothing I want. And if you did, you ain't going to stay but for 5 minutes. You know, this is the attitude. See, if you're going to come to the table, you got to bring something to the table. But know what table you're coming to.
Yes, sir.
Man, you better teach Brother Chris.
I didn't say that
long,
did I?
No, you're fine,
you're just fine, that's right.
You know,
yes, sir.
We need men and women of business today. Satisfy what human beings want. You know, you got to satisfy what the people want. You know, any good husband should know that if you don't satisfy what your wife wants, you got a problem. Many of us bear witness to that. You would end up in a domestic situation. You know, have we learned from any of that?
Well, I can say that about a husband.
You know, nobody want to be with somebody who can't provide anything. You know, here's my life experience. I was on my last rope, and I went to my wife at her job, and I said, "Look here, baby, I'm out of here. I don't know where I'm going, but I'm going somewhere. I'm about to hit the road now. I'm about to get on out of here now. I ain't nothing here for me." She went and grabbed me by my arm and said, "Look here, you ain't got to go nowhere." I said, "What?" She said, "You ain't got to go nowhere." And told me why. I said, "Well, I tell you what, I ain't got nothing. But if you be patient with me and work with me, by love's grace, I will do all I can to give you a better way in life." And she agreed. And we went forward. I mean, there was a time when we was living in a house with a TV sitting on a milk crate. No doors on the bedroom, no doors on the closet. Every winter was cold. But we kept learning and studying and trying to figure out how to come up out of that condition. Next thing you know, a friend of mine knocked on the door and said, "Hey, man, come on down here. I got a job for you." I said, "All right, let's go to work." You know, it got to the point where eventually we bought our first car. And I said, "Okay, well, I'm making a little money now. Let's we're taking care of the kids and everything. Let's get a better place with some doors on the bedroom." And a house with some doors on the bedroom, you know, an apartment with some doors on the bedroom. And we got... You know, it wasn't the best place, but it was working, you know. And then we got a car that, you know, it wasn't the best car in the world, but, you know, it was a Chevy built for the road. So I just took that thing and did what I had to do, you know. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, "Start small and work big." Now, that's easier said than done, because a lot of us, who've been out in that world seeing that big money, you know what it looked like, don't you? you know what the fast life looked like. You know, I was like that too. But Allah will show you how to take you from nothing and make you into something all over again. You know? See? there was a man who I saw, a white man. He said, you know, the drug dealer is one of the best businessmen I know. He's one of the best businessmen I know. But the problem was, he had no knowledge of who he was.
Mm.
See?
Yes, sir.
If you had a body that was making money, but didn't know what to do with him, with it or himself or nobody else. Can you imagine what that type of person who knows God, knows who they are and who his enemy or her enemy is and what they can do with that type of potential? Why do you think they were scared of Michael Jackson? They saw Michael waking up, and Michael had money.
Yes, sir.
Michael had power. Ain't no black man ever owned no white man like the way he owned the Beatles.
Yes, sir.
He had the Beatles in his hand. What was that telling black people? It was telling black people that the world was in your hand. All you had to do was rise up into a knowledge to help you get it. See?
Yes, sir.
A brother earlier asked, you know, what's the significance about the name Muhammad? And why should we come out and change the names? I think that's what it was. Let me say this, you know. We've been called every other name on the earth. Why not be called by the name of the God who originated the heavens and the earth? Since we belong to him.
Come on, it's my people who are called by my name. Come on, brother. You better teach.
Yeah.
You better teach.
Yeah. Huh? Why not be called by the name of he who originated the heavens and the earth? You've been called a nigger for 400 years?
Yes, sir. That's right.
You've been a... And now it got to the point where you call yourself nigger and love it. I'm loving it. Hey, nigger. Why, nigger? This nigger, that nigger. Whoa, nigger. If you can't stop niggering yourself, how are you going to come into some intelligence?
All right. Come on.
If you treat yourself like a nigger, what you going to be?
Yes, sir.
As you are.
That's right.
You ain't the, well, I ain't the white man nigga no more. Yeah, you your own nigga now. You your nigga, that nigga, those niggas nigga. And if you go to jail, you're going to be all them niggas.
All right.
I'm sorry. I need to get back on the civilized path. Y'all excuse me.
Now, brother, you teaching hard, Brother Chris. You know you are, you know. And you know, I just want to say something, you know, because I know, Brother Kareem, you mentioned something about, and I didn't get it all because I'm trying to manage the screen and talk to people on Facebook and answer questions and stuff. But you mentioned something about the male-female or the marital relationship. And I just want to talk to, just for a second, our brothers and our sisters in particular. You know, being a husband, you know, men are the maintainers of women. You know, I know y'all have heard that. You know, you need to be able to take care of your woman. But the Quran says that, you know, do not let poverty deter you from marriage. But let me explain something to you what has happened. We have set an expectation that is unrealistic. We as a people have forgotten how to live within our means. We as a people have become this habitation of devils, and we want what the white man has. But if you look at the white man and all his material glory, he has no peace. He has no peace because he's constantly plotting and planning to overthrow other people. He has no peace. So if you get a man that gets you a Mercedes and a five-bedroom house and a fur coat and a diamond and you don't never see him, you're going to be dissatisfied. So stop having these unrealistic, materialistic expectations and get a man that will start from somewhere and become a producer and help him to produce. Stop looking down on him. And all sisters don't do that. And I'm not talking to all sisters. I'm talking to black women and black men. Black men, if you get a sister and if you work at McDonald's and you don't make number $15,000 a year and she don't want you, move on. But don't go out here and start clanging, clanging, and doing things because you've been rejected by one woman. Because the more no's you get means that you're getting closer to a yes. Because I'm saying that, but I'm getting tired of seeing our men incarcerated for selling drugs. And everything a black man does it for a black woman. I don't care what nobody says. When he get his jeans and his tennis shoes and his car clean, he's doing it for the attention of a black woman. And then what do we as black women do to them? If we stop punkifying our men, they would be men. But if you ain't woman enough to stand by a man, if you ain't woman enough to recognize a man, then leave him alone, but don't punkify him. Don't go out there and put him in a position where he's going to get in trouble. He's going to get an extensive amount of debt to try to please you, and you ain't never satisfied because you too busy looking at the girl with the blonde hair and the blue eyes and all the bling bling she got, but she ain't got no peace at night either. So we talking about the knowledge of self. Be yourself. If you want a reminder of yourself, look back at your people. When they set the slaves free, trust me, the slave master did not give them 40 acres and a mule. They had to forge their way. And after slavery, they built 60 black towns. After slavery, we have black Wall Street. Because they utilized the God in them, and they unified and worked together. They didn't have no Mercedes Benz. They didn't have no five-bedroom mansion. Some of them slept in tents. Some of them slept in ditches. But they made it. And our people don't want to struggle today. But the Quran teaches you that struggle is ordained after difficulty comes ease. But we done got so comfortable now that we don't want to struggle no more.
Yeah.
But you're going to struggle right or you're going to struggle wrong. But either way, you're going to struggle.
That's right.
I'm
through. Brother, I want to.
Yes, sir. Brother Curtis.
Yes, sir.
You there, bro?
Yes, sir. You know,
okay.
You hit on.
Go ahead.
You know, the brother and the sister hit on so many points. You know, I love what each one of us was saying and what the sister was saying as far as, you know, when you unite with someone, you know, we have, like she was saying, we've been, you know, in this world pretty much been led to believe where if I don't have so much money in the bank or if I don't have a business or if I don't have that, I shouldn't get mad. You know, that is, you know, so crazy because if you look back, you know, when our people were, you know, enslaved, we were slaves or indentured, you know, servants, they didn't have anything. But guess what? They took nothing and made something out of it.
That's right.
Come on,
bro. What the minister said, what the messenger said, you know, take something like a seed that has really no value, but it has so much potential, you know. And they plant the seed. Another thing is, if you trust in Allah, you know, if you trust Allah, you're gonna pray and ask Allah to give you what you need, you know, in a woman or what you need in life, and let them go to work. you know, and when you see that woman, you know what I'm saying, you know, as men, we're looking so much at what we see, you know, outwardly, and look into that woman. I have to say I'm so happy that Allah has blessed me with a wife, a queen, that sees what I'm worth. I mean, I'll tell everybody, I don't care. I'm on disability. I don't get much, but I make sacrifices. We don't sacrifice today. You know, and it shows when we give our charity, you know, those that have money, they want to hold on to it. But if you die today, you can't take that money to the grave with you. Somebody else going to get it. You know, so, you know, we have to start making sacrifices. I haven't heard all the messages because I've been moving and got married recently. But, you know, I was told that the minister said recently that we're in the first of many hard years. We have to start making some sacrifices because I'm tell you, if you go down by the river, right now the river's up because we've been having rain, but that river's down, so I've never seen the river as low as it was recently. I mean, it was so low, it was like, man, almost looking like half of the river's gone. So the drought is coming, and if we have a drought, guess who's going to be the first ones not to have food in the stores in their neighborhood? It ain't going to be the white folks. It's going to be us. It's going to be us. We are going to be the ones out, and you know how we've been doing. We're unhappy. We turn in on ourselves. So we have to start making sacrifices. We have to start uniting with each other, you know, start moving out of our neighborhoods if we want a better life. Make the life and make the neighborhood you in, make it a better neighborhood. You know, start talking to your people and quit being so afraid to approach each other. You know, our brothers and sisters out in the streets. We have to approach them and then give them the teachings and show them the beauty of it, show them the beauty of, you know, I'm not about agriculture. Yes, excuse me, I'm agriculture all the time. Show them the beauty of it, because guess what? What one or two of us may have, when that time comes and it gets so hard, guess what? If we haven't made sacrifice and went to and did for our little brother or sister that we might see all the time on the streets, guess what? They gonna want what we got. Come on. You know? So, you know, I've just listened to the brother and listened to the sister, and I agree with you 100%. You know, we have to start, like I said, you know, make sacrifice so that we can, you know, benefit from the teachers that we've been given. You know, it don't make any sense to get all the teachers, but at the same time, you're still trying to hold on that job and rely on that job, like I see a lot of brothers and sisters doing. You know, I guess they think that, hey, you know, like I think it was you, sister, said, that these hard times, I guess these hard times ain't coming. These hard times are upon us. But because of those of us that still have our jobs, I mean, and even some of us that have businesses, you know, you might work on air conditioning. That's fine and dandy. But I tell you what, to me, everybody should be trying to drop a seed in earth. And if you just can't do it financially, somebody else will, you know, but at least try. Try to do something and watch Allah bless us, because it's our time. We have to have an understanding, hey, you know, Allah wants to bless us. We're the ones who are going to inherit the earth. But we have to make some sacrifice and try to do something for ourselves.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Praise
to Allah. You better preach, Brother Terry. Yes, sir.
That's right. Well, Queen Alzheimer, do we got any more questions or comments? Anybody on the line?
No, but let me remind those who are in the chat room, and it's a lot of people. And if y'all have questions, go ahead and type them in. I will ask them on your behalf. Those of you who are listening by phone, please press 1 on your keypad, and we will be happy to bring you in so you can ask your question. But at this time, Brother Kareem, no, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. All praise is due to Allah. What we were dealing with, and I want to say, the responses are excellent. They're right on point, because
anybody that's listening and participating. And even if you haven't asked a question or necessarily said anything, the fact that you are listening and learning means you're participating, because anyone that has listened to this show knows my phrase is participate or dissipate. Because if we don't participate in our own resurrection, our own rise, we're going to dissipate. We're going to cease to exist. But you all have been, you know, thank you, Queen Aziza, Brother Chris Muhammad, Brother Curry, for your responses to this last question, which is, what are the suggestions, and there are practical suggestions as to how do we apply the knowledge itself in everyday life? You know, and I'm just amazed. I'm awed. I'm almost speechless, which is nearly impossible for me.
Well, you know, Brother Kareem, if you don't mind, I just want to say something else about the knowledge itself, if you don't mind just a second.
No, no, ma'am, you go right ahead. We need that balance. It's 3-1. We got to have some balance here. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I'm the sister for the job. I was raised in the house with 11 FOI. I got you. But I want to make it clear. I want to always reiterate that even though all of us that you hear on the panel, we are members of the Nation of Islam. But, you know that all of you, whether you call yourself Christian, Lutheran, Methodist, whatever, know that you are all a part of the original family. And so we are not anti-anyone of the original family. This teaching that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave to us, that came from Master Fawad Muhammad, is for all of the original people of the planet Earth. So if you are Christian, I don't want you to hesitate to participate, you know, because no matter what you have heard about the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan, that man teaches love. And if anybody makes you feel inadequate about loving black people, loving yourself, if anybody tells you that you are black supremacist because you love black people, that is a falsehood. No, I'm sorry, it's a lie. It's a straight up lie. Because if you don't love yourself, how can you extend love to anybody else? So I just want to say to my Christian brothers and sisters that Conscious Black Nation in particularly is a show for just that, the Conscious Black Nation, and that includes the red, the brown, and the yellow. Okay?
Come on.
I just want everybody to be clear about who the original people are. And I want you all to be able to speak your minds and share your input, because a lot of times you hear things that we are taught in the nation, but there are things that you are taught in your church. There are things that you're not going to get from your church, too. So we hope that you don't turn a deaf ear to what is proven to be absolute truth, and know that we welcome you to voice your opinion, and we will always respect you and respect your faith. This is not about turning anyone into a Muslim. This is about the spreading of truth. So I just wanted to reiterate that, because we have a lot of people on the phone and in the chat room, and I don't want anybody to feel reluctant to speak. Know that you're welcome at any time to say what you have to say, and you will be treated with the utmost respect.
That's right. All praise to you. Thank you very much, Queen Aziza, for reiterating, as you said, that fact. That's something that the people need to know, because as we all always say, this is about you, this is about us, this is a we. So thank you very much for that. So there's no one else that wants to share. I'm so full of myself, like I said, just. This has been amazing this evening. So what I want to do is, we got like, we're looking at 11, 10 minutes. I want to go back around. Brother Chris is still online with us, Brother Chris Muhammad?
Yeah, Brother Chris is here. He's full tonight. You need to let him go and run us out.
Like I said, that's what I'm looking for.
I'm looking for.
alaikum salam. I just asked to leave us with at least 3 minutes so we can share the lineup for the week. But you go ahead, bro.
Yes, I thank you, and I thank Allah for any moment, in this moment, in every moment. Because in truth, brother, you know, I remember a time where, in fact, right after the Million Man March, where
yes,
I saw a brother and myself standing in FOI class, and the captain asked the FOI, what do y'all think is wrong with the FOI? And everybody said their opinion. Everybody said whatever they thought. And when it came to me, I said what I said. And when the brother next to me, who was processing, said what he said, Brother Captain looked at us and said, y'all ain't got no voice. So I looked at him, and the brother looked at him, and he said, man, you tell me we just came from Washington, D.C., and we've been out here more than a lot of other brothers, and we ain't got no voice?
Hmm.
So he was upset. And when we left, that day we walked home, and he looked at me, he said, brother, I don't think I'm ever going back to that mountain. And I looked at that brother, and I said, you know, I don't know where I'm going, but I know where I do end up at, Allah will give me a voice. So I'm giving you that story. Because a lot of us have been through situations like that where we couldn't speak. We didn't know what to say. We didn't know how to say it, and we didn't know when it was time to say it. But when Allah gives you a voice through whatever teacher he raised from among you, know that it is from Allah. Know that when your mother or father, sister or brother speaks to you in wisdom, with knowledge, trying to pull you up out of the ditch, know that there's a lesson to be learned. See,
that's right.
I didn't know what the lesson was. And Allah had to put me through a trial and all kind of stuff to get my hard head to wake up. You know, when I look up at the situation up in Boston, it just happened today. You know, the main thing the media was talking about is terror this, terror that, sweeping the New England and all of that. I said, man, look at this. Again, here you go trying to tell people that this is some terrorist activity where your bombs are going off and all of this stuff. See, a fool will feed into that. If you don't know anything, you'll fall for everything. See? You know, we got to stop being a foolish people. Now, I don't know the whole circumstance, so I'm not going to speak on the circumstance, but I do know what looks familiar to me and what don't. See? And now we got to move out. And this is another reason why the black family and must bring himself together with one another. They got problems out there, man. But we got problems in here. We don't know how to respect one another. We don't know how to treat one another. And we refuse to let the messenger of Allah teach you and train you into the knowledge of yourself. How can you not let God and his messenger and his minister teach you how to be who you were born to be? Ain't nobody else that can do it. T.D. Jakes got what he got. He's a good preacher. But see, if you are not divinely with the Lord of the worlds himself, who is present, how far do you think that's going to go? How far do you think, and how much time do you really think you got left? now that God is present. When God, if he can take a no good man like me and bring me out of a lifestyle that wasn't worth nothing and give me a voice, what can he do for you? What can he do for you? Oh, yeah. My wife can bear witness to the life that I used to live. And I told my children, I said, you know, I'm so proud of all of you. Because none of you have been brought home by the police. You don't sell drugs. You don't get involved in none of that stuff. You don't even hang out in the street.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And I stand in the doorway saying to them, you don't have to, because I paid the price with my life that you can be free. See? A good buddy of mine, his name was Omar Chandler. He is best remembered for the Rob Bass song Joy and Pain, the hip hop song. He sang that hook. He passed away, but he had a song called Daddy Come Home. See? Daddy, when you gonna come home now that your father's home? Allah is present today. Ain't no mystery God coming.
That's right, man.
Mm-hmm. He yes, came to raise you up out of the mud so that you would be present. But what are you present for? What are you present for? Are you present to be something that you're not? Hmm? Are you present to be ignorant? Or are you present to be intelligent? These are decisions we got to make. Either I'm going to be ignorant, which is to be unaware, or I'm going to be intelligent, which is to be aware. Aware of what? Aware of who God is, who you are, and what you must do in this time. 6,000 years was all the devil was permitted to live and rule. You were living in the 7,000 year. Didn't the Bible teach you that on the seventh day he had to rest? Yeah, we believe that, don't we?
Yes, sir.
We
that's right.
All the time.
Yes, sir.
You know, when my grandmother, you couldn't do nothing on Sunday after church. You wasn't no working. You just go to church, hear the word, come home. You know, get something good to eat and enjoy the family. Well, none of that working now. And she was a woman born in 1913 in Darlington, South Carolina. You understand me?
Yes, sir.
She had 13 headed children, see? And she raised me like her own. You know, I was a son, but I was her grandson, you know? And on Sunday, you know, that was a day of rest. You couldn't do nothing, you know. But this world was only permitted for 6,000 years. That time has been up. Public Enemy said, y'all better get a late pass.
Come on, Griff.
Yeah. Why? Because they fear black planet.
Yes, sir.
They fear black planet. Why? Because, see, they never wanted a black planet. Yakub wanted something unlike. He wanted something, a people unlike. The unlike who? The original man. What do you mean unlike? I mean not like the original. That's what I mean. Different.
Yes, sir.
But see, why was it permitted? Well, I don't believe in that stuff about Yakub and the white man. All right. Well, let me bring you to a reality. See? You don't believe that the white man is the devil? Fine. The Ku Klux Klan sent a letter to all you hip-hop gangsters. They said, we'd like to thank all of you niggas
for doing our job.
That's right. They said that.
Why did they tell you that? You see, they taught and trained you how to be a devil. See?
Mm-hmm.
Look back when cocaine hit the streets. You remember the movie New Jack City?
Neil Brown
didn't even know what that was. He was looking at G-Money, and G-Money said, yeah, man, this stuff here, this is going to change everything. He said, this little thing, huh? And he went and investigated it. Next thing you know, he went and took over a whole apartment building. Right? See? Very destructive. Where did he learn it from? If you looked in the movie, you saw him dealing with those Italians. Right?
That's right.
And then he went against the Italians. Sort of like Django, huh? Sound familiar?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Brother Chris, we out of time, beloved. We about to shut down. I want to cut off on you.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Right.
Just, I thank you for this moment, and may Allah continue to bless all of you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you,
thank
brother.
You,
bro. And Sister
thank
Queen
you,
Aziz, if you can hit us with the line up as fast as possible before we get cut off.
Yes. Join me tomorrow. I don't know why, but Brother Jihad is going to be interviewing me and Minister Tony and Minister Abel and Brother David and Sister Yansara Hill, and we're going to talk about diversity in the Black Nation. So join us for that. We also will be discussing 1 through 14 of the time and what must be done. Join us on Wednesday at 8 p.m. for DJ Black Caesar and Friends. And on Thursday, I have a very special treat. I have a show titled Walking with God, A Journey with Farrakhan. And we will be honored with the presence of Student Minister, Southwest Regional Minister Robert Muhammad, also with West Coast Regional Minister Tony Muhammad. Brother Jamil Muhammad will also join us, as well as Student Minister James Muhammad out of Florida. They're going to share with us their 20-plus years journey with Minister Farrakhan. Some of them have been in 40 years, so you don't want to miss that. On Friday, join us for Put on the New Man, and our featured panelists will be West Coast Regional Minister Tony Muhammad. Come back and join us on Saturday for Young, Gifted, and Black. We have the Nation of Islam hottest hip-hop artists playing their music and talking about what's going on in their world. And, of course, on Sunday, join us for No Romance Without Finance, hosted by Brother Vernon. And, of course, next Monday, we'll be right back here with Conscious Black Nation. And Brother Kareem going to bring us another hot topic. So thank you all for listening. All of you who are in the chat room, thank you, Brother Kerry X Moore, for joining us. Even though he was driving and shopping and doing whatever, he still stood his post, walked his post in a perfect manner. And Brother
That's
Chris,
right.
You know, I love you so, so much, and you always bring that knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And Brother, I told you before, and I'm going to tell you again, there's a rostrum waiting for you somewhere. Okay? So, Brother Kareem, thank you for being such a magnificent and creative host. Thank you all for listening. May Allah continue to bless you. Assalamu alaikum. One nation, one love. Good night, y'all.
Wa alaikum salam.
Good night.